Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, March 20th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Tough game to watch last night. Warriors only put up 12 in the fourth quarter for a total of 75, lost by 14 to the San Antonio Spurs. And it's going to be like this in this period of time where the Warriors don't have their stars. But good news, Stephen Curry will try to return on Friday, nursing that right ankle injury. And it's a nice little four-game homestand for the Warriors. Their last nine games of the year starts Friday with Atlanta. And then Sunday, Utah. Tuesday, Indiana, who the Warriors are playing twice in the last seven games. And then Thursday, March 29th, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Good show for you today. We're going to do our recap of the game against the Spurs in the first segment. In the second segment, I'll be focusing on Quinn Cook, my Warrior of the Week. And in the third segment, we'll go around the NBA. We'll declare some playoff narratives dead. I will declare already that the Warriors' pursuit of the one seed is dead. It's D-E-A-D, dead. The Warriors will most likely have the second seed in the Western Conference in the playoffs, and that's okay. Having a higher seed than whatever Eastern Conference team ends up coming out of the East would be nice, though. We'll get to all that and more, but first I want to tell you about this podcast. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, iOS, and Google Play, as well as at LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. You can also find us on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net. Make sure you like both of those pages. You can find me tweeting at Koji Tare, KOGITARE, or at Locked On Dubs. You can also get in touch with me via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. That's AlikoCarter11@gmail. I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts with a keen interest on the Golden State Warriors for Forbes.com. I'm meeting with A's Community Fund Brass later today for a potential story, and I've got a story on the Historical Basketball League, which is a league that will pay college players playing in HBCUs, that's historically black colleges and universities, and the people behind that are going to join me on this show on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. I've got a bunch of good pieces coming out over the next few weeks. I'll keep you posted on all that. I've also written about the Warriors as a credentialed reporter for Bleacher Report in the past. All right, let's check out this game. And the first thing I want to do is talk about Draymond Green, who only played 12 minutes before he was kneed in the groin. He was 0-4 from the field, 3 rebounds, before he had to leave the game. And he's got a contusion on his pelvic region. It's unclear whether he'll suit up on Friday, but a nice 3-day break between these games should give him time to rest up and get right. I know he wants to play, and it would be a shame to trade one superstar for another and have Stephen Curry return but have Draymond Green hit the shelf. And with both Curry's ankle and Draymond's pelvic region, I just have the feeling that if it were the playoffs, they would be playing. Unlike Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, who are dealing with bone injuries and need more time to heal. Without Draymond, the Spurs were just too much for the Warriors. Despite another 20 spot for Quinn Cook, who was 8 of 18 from the field, only 2 of 8 from 3 this time around. A few more of those would have helped, but he had 5 rebounds, 5 assists to go along with his 4 turnovers. Not so great. But Nick Young, not great either. 40 minutes, only 10 points, 0 of 5 from 3 and 2 of 10 from the field. But like I said in the previous podcast, he's been earning his minutes, and his defense wasn't horrible. Andre Iguodala only played 25 minutes. Could have used him a little bit more, but it seems like what Steve Kerr is trying to do is play everyone who would get their normal minutes, and then fill in the blanks with a ton of minutes from certain players, Nick Young and Quinn Cook among them. Patrick McCaw, in his first game back, played 25 minutes, was not super impactful, 3 points and a few steals. But he looks active out there. He looks like he's trying to take a page out of Quinn Cook's book and be more aggressive. 1 of 7 from the field, but 7 just, aggressive shots. He shot 2 3-pointers. He didn't make either. But the Warriors are going to be relying on him on both sides of the floor once everybody's healthy and in the playoffs. And it's important for him to get these reps So keep shooting, Patrick. 22 minutes apiece for Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney. Kevon had a great game. Jordan Bell was a little iffy. But 8 rebounds for Kevon, including 2 offensive, 3 steals, a block, 12 points. Looney also posted a 79 individual defensive rating and a 166 individual offensive rating, according to Basketball Reference. That's a net rating of 87. Game high for the Warriors, though, Davis Bertans posted an 89 net rating for the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs were good. The Spurs played very well. They played their game. LaMarcus Aldridge with 33 points and 12 rebounds. I said Draymond was going to have to win that matchup. Unfortunately, though he didn't start off well, Draymond wasn't able to finish off the game, and LaMarcus had his way. 13 of 22 from the field. Nobody else played particularly amazingly for the San Antonio Spurs, but they were, you know, they were solid. 4 of 8 for Danny Green, some good defense, some big shots from Patty Mills as well, 3 of 6 from 3. Rudy Gay had some good minutes, and Manu Ginobili also. The Warriors did a good job of running the Spurs off the line, only 8 of 23 from 3, and the Warriors, unfortunately, were 3 of 19. They were out-rebounded by 12 and out-assisted by 4. Gotta fight harder for those boards. And without Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and especially Stephen Curry, the three-point threat just isn't there. Quinn Cook took the most, taking 8, but nobody else took more than 5. Nick Young took 5. The rest of the team, there were a couple of 2s sprinkled around there. But you gotta have Nick Young, Quinn Cook, Andre Iguodala, and Patrick McCaw making three-pointers when Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson are not playing. That there has to be that three-point threat there, and it just wasn't there last night. The Spurs did a good job of snuffing it out, and there wasn't quite enough aggressiveness, aside from Quinn Cook, from those players getting their shots. Nick Young, especially, if he's going to be a bit of a liability on defense, needs to bring the offense. He was a minus 21 on the night. David West, surprisingly, with 13 minutes, was a minus 13, and he, you know, is one of the best guys off the bench who plays 15 minutes or less in the NBA, but hasn't been quite the same since he recovered from the cyst on his shooting elbow. Antibiotics will mess you up. Last week, I had Miles Johnson on the show, and we talked about the Spurs, and he was like, the Spurs should tank. And I was like, no, they shouldn't. The idea being that without Kawhi Leonard, if they can't make the finals and they don't feel as though they can, they should go for that lottery pick. And, you know, I just think, like looking at this roster, you know, looking at the starting lineup, DeJounte Murray, Patty Mills, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyle Anderson, and Danny Green, it's a pretty good starting lineup. But then they bring Pau Gasol, Rudy Gay, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili off the bench, along with Davis Bertans, who can shoot the ball from long range, and Joffrey Laverne, who does everything right, and Bryn Forbes. A ton of veteran leadership on this team, a ton of youthful players who play the Popovich way and the best coaching in the league, obviously. I think this team is going to be a tough out in the lower part, potentially in the lower part of the playoff bracket in the Western Conference. And, you know, the entire West is like that. The entire West is going to be a tough out. So it really doesn't matter who the Warriors play, and it doesn't matter who the Spurs play. Kawhi Leonard almost returned last night, and then they decided he wasn't going to. But Kawhi's going to be back sooner rather than later, and the Spurs are going to be real exciting, combining the chemistry they've developed without him with everything that he brings, which is everything. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. When the Spurs get you down, I'm here to get you back up. And we're back, and we're going to take a look at Quinn Cook's last 4 games for our Warrior of the Week segment, and we're going to start on March 14th, GSW versus the Lakers. He played 28 minutes, put up 11 shots, 1 of 3 from 3, and he was just starting to come into himself as a starter. Just starting to see what he was capable of on an NBA floor. And he ended up fouling out. It's pretty funny. He doesn't commit a lot of fouls, but was a little bit jumpy in that game. The Warriors did win against the Lakers, but Quinn Cook wasn't the main reason why. 5 of 11 from the field for 13 points. But he had his real coming out party against Sacramento. Again, the Warriors lost. But he played 40 minutes and scored 25 points on 10 of 13 from the field, including 5 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Really, really exciting for him, and he followed it up against Phoenix in a win running away in the fourth quarter, 11-17 for 28 points and another 5-7 from three performance. He had 5 steals over those 2 games, and then, of course, the game against the Spurs. 20 points in 38 minutes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, but 4 turnovers. And not great shooting from 3. Obviously, it wasn't going to continue where he was shooting 71% from 3 forever. But 2 of 8 is not good enough to beat the Spurs. His advanced numbers look solid, especially player impact estimate, which measures a player's overall statistical contribution against the total statistics in the games they play in. Against the Kings, Quinn Cook recorded a 22.7 PIE, or PIE, and against the Suns, he recorded a 16.7. Some of these net ratings look pretty good as well. I was asked on Locked On NBA yesterday by Josh Lloyd whether or not Quinn Cook could supplant Patrick McCaw as the third string point guard, if you will. I just don't think that's something that's going to happen. The Warriors are invested in Patrick McCaw, and an injury is not going to change their minds about him that quickly. Besides, Quinn Cook is listed at 6'2", 179. Can't take the defensive assignments that Patrick McCaw can take, but Quinn Cook has played himself into somebody's rotation, and it's going to be a shame to not see him in the playoffs. You know, because the Warriors signed him to a 2-way deal, he won't be eligible to play in the playoffs unless they create a roster spot for him, and that just is unlikely. If Nick Young were playing less and getting paid less, I would say his would be the spot that Quinn Cook should take. You know, I'm not really high on what Nick Young has done this season. It's really feast or famine, and the defense leaves me wanting. Cook is a little sharper in his rotations, even though he's a size liability. Obviously, Nick Young, when he's locked in, he's a clay-sized player and can play and switch in ways that Quinn Cook can't, but he's got to have his mind locked in on his job and rotations, and that's just something that, you know, comes and goes. Cook has been playing on good defensive units the last few games. Those units have also included Nick Young, so it's really unclear who is making the biggest defensive contribution between the two. But you also have to look at Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, and Zaza Pachulia for what they're bringing on the back line. In the meantime, before the playoffs, there's plenty of time for Quinn Cook and Pat McCaw to play together in the same lineups and to learn from each other. So, learning opportunity for both players. Stephen Curry hopefully will be back on Friday, and things will start to get a little bit more normal. Though I don't think there's an extra playoff roster spot for Quinn Cook in the making, he's been absolutely integral in the last few games to what the Warriors are trying to do, and he's earned himself a roster spot somewhere next year. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where a guy you don't know talks about the team you love. Hey guys, it's time to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this week betting at MyBookie. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. Fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting so you can place a bet after tip-off. Join now and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Use promo code LONVA to activate offer. That's LONVA. Visit MyBookie today. Play, win, get paid. All right, it's time to take a look around the NBA, and we're going to start with the standings in the Eastern Conference. Toronto is actually a half game ahead of the Warriors at 52-18, leading the Eastern Conference, which means that that race, if the Warriors do end up coming out of the Western Conference, they could end up having to face Toronto And every game going forward will have implications for home court in the finals. Boston at 47-23 is 5 games back. It looks like Toronto has that one seed all locked up. Cleveland, an additional 6 games back at 41-29. They just won last night. And Indiana, 41-30, holding down the 4 spot. 40-30 are the Washington Wizards. 39-30, Philadelphia 76ers in the 6th spot. 38-33, the Miami Heat. And Milwaukee just lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're 37-33. Those are the 8 teams that will make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Detroit at 31-39 has no chance of catching Milwaukee for the 8th spot. In the West, Houston is 3.5 games up on the Golden State Warriors at 56-14. The Warriors are 53-18. Excuse me. They're a half game up on Toronto, not the other way around. Portland, 44-26 in the 3rd spot, has been surging. They have won 13 in a row. The Houston Rockets have won 5 in a row. Oklahoma City has won 6 in a row. They're 43-29 in the 4th spot. And San Antonio, after just beating the Warriors, are on a 4-game win streak in the 5th spot. The Utah Jazz have won an additional 9 games after their like 12-game win streak. And then they lost 2 games. They're 40-30. The New Orleans Pelicans are also 40-30. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are 40-31. This is starting to look like the end of the line for the LA Clippers, who are 37-32, and the Denver Nuggets at 38-33. They're losing time to catch up and get into the playoff picture. 3 straight losses for the Clippers and 2 for the Denver Nuggets. It's not looking good. Here's a question. Who would the Warriors most like to play in the first round? I really don't think it's San Antonio. I would say Utah first. Utah holding down the 6th spot, New Orleans in 7th, and Minnesota in 8th right now. The Warriors have played New Orleans and Utah well. I would take Utah in the first round over New Orleans just because of the way Anthony Davis is playing right now. He's nigh unstoppable, and Minnesota has played the Warriors well this year. The Warriors handed the Jazz a big blowout in the early part of the season, and the Jazz returned the favor later on. The Warriors will play the Jazz twice in their last 10 games, bookending those 10 games. They played the Jazz on Sunday, March 25th, and Tuesday, April 10th in the last game of the season. And so we'll get to see. Hopefully the Warriors will be a little bit more healthy, especially by that last game, and we'll see how they would face the Jazz in the playoffs. Other teams they could play in the first round that they're playing before the end of the season include the New Orleans Pelicans on Saturday, April 7th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That game is going to be on ABC, and it should be a very good one. Hopefully the Warriors will be healthy by then and will be able to face Anthony Davis at full strength. I think the Jazz are the best matchup for the Warriors in the first round. I think they have the strength and size to contend with Rudy Gobert down low, and they can match the playmaking of players like Ricky Rubio and Donovan Mitchell. But what do I know, right? Hit me up on Twitter at Koji Tare or at Locked On Dubs or via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com and let me know who you think the best matchup for the Warriors is in the first round. Like I've been saying, it's totally a gauntlet, and any one of these teams will give the Warriors trouble. But who will give them the least? Let me know. It's looking like the Spurs are going to make their 21st straight playoff appearance, though they did lose their streak of winning records on the road this year. One pursuit of excellence that isn't dead is the Warriors' pursuit of 60 wins. They have 11 games to go, have to win 7 of their last 11 games to hit that 60-win plateau. And, you know, I mean, I think they can do it. You know, they're playing the Hawks. We can pencil that in as a win, knock on wood. The Kings, they're going to be hungry and coming to get the Kings after that loss last weekend. The Phoenix Suns, who they'll be playing twice. And then a lot of good teams. They're playing the Jazz twice, the Pacers twice, the Bucks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we'll pencil in 4 wins and 7 games up in the air for the Warriors in their final 11. They need to win 3 of those 7 games up in the air to get those 60 wins. Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter, but it's a psychological thing. I think that It's going to help confidence. You know, there's 59 wins is very, very good. 60 wins is excellent, you know, and it's going to help their confidence going into the playoffs to be on that other side of excellent. Some good games tonight around the NBA. Oklahoma City is at Boston on TNT. The Clippers face the Timberwolves on League Pass. Dallas and Atlanta have the chance to play spoiler against the Pelicans and the Jazz, respectively. And streaks are on the line in the TNT nightcap when the Houston Rockets face the Portland Trail Blazers. That is an absolute must-watch, Warriors fans. That's about as much time as I have for today. Tune in tomorrow. We've got our statistical deep dive. We're going to go around the NBA, and we're going to be catching up on all the latest injury news from the Dubs. Enjoy tonight's game, and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.